Jasoranandana, Brajajanaranjana, Jasoranandana, Brajajanaranjana, Jamunatira, Banachari, Tira, Banachari, Jayo Radha, Madhava, Kunja Bihari, Jayo Radha, Madhava, Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Balabha, Giribharadhari, Jaya Gopi Jana Balabha, Giribharadhari, Asuranandana, Vrajajanaranjana, Jasuranandana, Vrajajanaranjana, Yamunatira, Vanachari, Yamunatira, Vanachari, Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Vishnu Padma Hansa Bri Praja Gachara Jasto Tata Trache Shi Ma Re Si Bhakti Tu Swami Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Jai
Om Vishnu Padma Hansa Bri Praja Gachara Jasto Tata Trache Shi Ma Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki
Jai Exactly. Exactly.
All glories to some of the devotees, some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees. Adadanas charam dan tari damyati puna puna shiman rupa vedam boja dulisham janma janma bi. Okay, so reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranam Amalam, verse 41, chapter 9 of Canto 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 All right, we're reading text 41. Muniganan Ripa Barya Sankulenta.
Muniganan
Ripa Barya Sankulenta.
Sadisi Yudhisthira Rajasuya Esham.
Sadisi Yudhisthira Rajasuya Esham.
Arhanam Upapeda Esham Ikshaniyo.
Arhanam upadeshaniyo
mama drishi gochara esha aviratma.
Mama drishi gochara esha aviratma.
Unigana nipa
unigana nipa varaya shankulenta.
Sadasi Yudhisthira Rajasuya Esham.
Sadasi Yudhisthira Rajasuya Esham.
Arhanam Upapeid Ikshaniyo.
Arhanam Upapeid Ikshaniyo.
Mama Drishi Gochara Esha Aviratma.
Mama drishi gopura esha aviratma.
Muniganan ripa varya shankulenta.
Muniganan ripa varya shankulenta.
Sadasi yudhisthira rajasuya esham.
Sadasi yudhisthira rajasuya esham.
Arhanamo Upapeda Ikshaniyo.
Arhanam Upapeda Ikshaniyo.
Mama Drishi Gochara Esha Aviratma.
Mama Drishi Gochara Esha Aviratma.
Bolo Bolo.
Muniganan Ripa Varya Shankalenta.
Munigana nipa varya shankulenta.
Sarasi yudhisthira rajasuya esham.
Sadasi yudhisthira
rajasuya esham.
Arhanam upapeda ikshaniyo.
Arhanam upapeda ikshaniyo.
Mama drishi gochara esha aviratma.
Mama drishi gochara esha aviratma. Munigana nipa varya sankulenta.
Munigana nipa varya sankulenta.
Sarati Yudhishthira Rajasya Esham.
Sarasti Yudhishthira Rajasuya Esham.
Arhanam Upedya Ikshaniyo.
Arhanam Upapeda Ukshaniyo.
Mama Rishi Gochara Eshabira Atma.
Mama Drishi Gochara Esha Aviratma.
Muni Gananripa Varya Sankalenta.
Muni Gananripa Varya Sankalenta.
Sadasi Yudhisthira Rajasuya Esham.
Sadasi Yudhisthira Rajasuya Esham.
Arhanam upapeda ikshaniyo.
Arhanam upapeda ikshaniyo. You like ready?
Mama drishi gochara esha aviratma.
Mama drishi gochara esha aviratma.
Okay. I'll just do the word and the thing, and then you can say both, because there's too many in-betweens and a lot of extra static. Munigana, the great learned sages.
Munigana, the great learned sages.
Nripavarya, the great ruling kings.
Nripavarya, the great ruling kings.
Shankule. In the great assembly of. Antasadasi Conference.
Antasadasi Conference.
Yudhisthira of Emperor Yudhisthira. Rajasuye, a royal performance of sacrifice.
Rajasuye, a royal performance of sacrifice.
A shama of all the great elites.
A shama of all the great elites.
Arhanam, respectful worship.
Arhanam. Worship.
Upapeda received.
Upapeda received.
Ikshaniya.
Ikshaniya.
The object of attraction.
The object of attraction.
Mama, my. Drishi, sight.
Drishi, sight.
Gochara, within the view of.
Gochara, within the view of.
Esha Avi. Personally present.
Personally present.
Atma, the soul.
Atma,
the soul.
Translation. At the Rajasuya Yajna sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, there was the greatest assembly of all the elite men of the world, the royal learned orders, and in that great assembly, Lord Krishna was worshipped by one and all as the most exalted personality of Godhead. This happened during my presence, and I remembered the incident in order to keep my mind upon the Lord. Purport.
Okay, just a moment. So first of all, I wanted to greet everybody. If you came in a little bit late, thank you very much for attending. So if we could all mute ourselves so that Pushkar Prabhu could present without any interruptions. So please mute at this time. Thank you very much, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Purport. After gaining victory in the Battle of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the emperor of the world, performed the Rajasuya sacrificial ceremony. The emperor in those days, upon his ascendance to the throne, would send a challenge horse all over the world to declare his supremacy, and any ruling prince or king was at liberty to accept the challenge and express it, his tacit willingness to obey or disobey the challenge and express willingness to obey or disobey the supremacy of the particular emperor. One who accepted the challenge had to fight with the emperor and establish his own supremacy by victory. The defeated challenger would have to sacrifice his life, making a place for another king or ruler. So Maharaj Yudhisthira also dispatched such challenging horses all over the world, and every ruling prince and king all over the world accepted Maharaj Yudhisthira's leadership as emperor of the world. After this, all rulers of the world leadership After this, all the rulers of the world under the regime of Maharaj Yudhisthira were invited to participate in the great sacrificial ceremony of Rajasuya. Such performances required hundreds of millions of dollars, and it was not an easy job for a petty king. Such a sacrificial ceremony, being too expensive and also difficult to perform under present circumstance, is now impossible in the age of Kali, nor can anyone secure the required expert priesthood to take charge of the ceremony. So after being invited, all the kings and great learned sages of the world assembled in the capital of Maharaj Yudhisthira. The learned society, including the great philosophers, religionists, physicians, scientists, and all great sages.
My glass is on.
Religionists, physicians, scientists, and all great sages were invited. That is to say, the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas were the topmost leading men in society, and they were all invited to participate in the assembly. The Vaishyas and Shudras were unimportant elements in society, and they are not mentioned herein. Due to the change of social activity in the modern age, the importance of men has also changed in terms of occupational position. So, in that great assembly, Lord Sri Krishna was the cynosure of neighboring eyes. Everyone wanted to see Lord Krishna, and everyone wanted to pay his humble respects to the Lord. Bhishma Dev remembered all this and was glad that his worshipful Lord, the personality of Godhead, was present before him in his actual formal presence. So to meditate on the Supreme Lord is to meditate on the activities, form, pastime, name, and fame of the Lord. This is easier than what is imagined as meditation on the impersonal feature of the Supreme. In Bhagavad Gita 12.5, it is clearly stated that to meditate on the impersonal feature of the Supreme is very difficult. It is practically no meditation or simply a waste of time, because very seldom is the desired result obtained. The devotees, however, meditate upon the Lord's actual form and pastimes, and therefore the Lord is easily approachable by the devotees. This is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita 12.9. The Lord is not different from his transcendental activities. It is indicated also in the shloka that Sri Krishna, while actually present before human society, especially in connection with the Battle of Kurukshetra, was accepted as the greatest personality of the time, although he might not have been recognized as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The propaganda that a very great man is worshipped as God after his death is misleading, because a man after his death cannot be made into God, nor can the Personality of Godhead be a human being, even when he is personally present. Both ideas are misconceptions. The idea of anthropomorphism cannot be applicable in the case of Lord Krishna. Omagana Timaranda Shyaganjana Shalakai Chakshun Militang Jaina Tasmai Shi Gurve Namaha Shi Chaitanya Manobistam Stakpitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupagata Dati Sabadanti Kam Anchikalpatrubhyascha Kipasinubhyeva Chapatitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. So here, the Bhishma, he's having various thoughts, all transcendental thoughts, and this, now he's thinking of the Rajasuya sacrifice. And we know it's a very detailed description in the Mahabharata, also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The beginning of this seventh chapter, for instance, of Bhagavatam, the seventh canto, the beginning, actually takes place where Narad Muni and Yudhisthira is asking Narad Muni questions about the how this Shishupal, what happened here, you know, that he was killed, and why did Krishna kill him, and what happened to him, and how do we understand that the equality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he favors some persons and doesn't favor, of course, understood throughout the Bhagavatam, several in the third canto and seventh canto especially describe the position of Dantavakra, Shishupal, Ravana, and Kumbhakarna, Hiranyakashipu, Haranyaksha. They're all pastimes of Jai Vijay. Of course, that takes pretty good chunks of the Bhagavatam to describe. So this is an important thing, and it happened here in plain view of everybody, the Rajasuya. that first of all, Yudhisthira had wanted to do the Rajasuya, and he understood it was very important that Varuna, an undertaking that even the demigods had helped Varuna, that the king Harishchandra had attained. And the Mahabharata described that Harishchandra, and also the Bhagavatam, he attained Indraloka by performing it. And throughout the conversation, Krishna describes the various sabhas. You know, Yudhisthira sitting in his sabha created by Maya Danava. He wanted to hear about Lord Brahma's meeting hall. All of these wonderful details are given, how they're constructed, how large, and what went on, how they were made. So he was inspired, but at the same time, he was feeling a little trepidation that in order to perform this Rajasuya, he would first of all have to defeat all these kings. Of course, he had the help of his brothers, so they went out. There was Bhima. He went to the north, or Arjuna went to the north. Bhima went to the east. Sahadev to the south. Nakula to the west. And they defeated, especially in the case of Arjuna and Bhima, they even went beyond the Himalayas and on up to the Harivarsha Lok. In the case of Arjuna, and if not defeated, but at least were given tribute by even the demigods. So in this way, preparation was made. At the same time, we know that in Dwarka, Krishna, that Narada came, being petitioned by Yudhisthira, and was speaking with Krishna, and then one king had escaped from captivity. He'd been captured. Many kings, thousands of kings had been captured by this Jarasandha. And Jarasandha had consolidated practically the entire middle part of the earth, according to Bhagavatam. And large part. So he was a formidable person. He'd already fought with Krishna so many times, and Krishna didn't want to really fight with him because he unnecessarily killing so many soldiers. He didn't want to do that. So Krishna took the advice of Uddhava so what should we do? This king is here. We have to fight more. Should we fight? Now, Uddhava advised that, I think you should just fight by hand to hand. Somehow you and Arjuna, Bhima, you can go there and just challenge him because he's still respectful of Brahmanas. You can go disguised as Brahmanas. This was the precursor to all these pastimes leading up to the Rajasuya. We cannot do the Rajasuya until, how can you say you're the king of the planet if you have a person like Jarasandha to deal with? And Jarasandha was so powerful. But of course, the secret of Jarasandha, how he was joined together, the two parts, that was something that, if for Krishna went along, Krishna, they approached the city of Jarasandha. There were five formidable hills. One of the hills protected the actual center of the city. So when the three of them, Bhima, Arjuna, and Krishna, approached, they were dressed in very beautiful clothes. They're snatakas. That means that they're brahmanas who were supposed to be just new brahmanas, or, you know, but they were very powerful looking brahmanas, to say the least. When they approached the hill, they tore off the top of the hill. Most brahmanas wouldn't attempt to do that or be able to do that. And then they descended, causing a huge, there was some big, huge drum that would beat, and that Jarasandha had always beating. They destroyed that. And of course, I mean, this is something amazing. And they scaled the huge wall to get into the inner city and walked along the moat. You know, like, just the guards just stood there flabbergasted, like, what is going on? They didn't do anything. These are brahmanas. You can't attack brahmanas. So they just walked in. And at the time, Krishna came into the inner. Actually, there were some omens, Jarasandha, from his astrologers, his priests. They told him there's some bad things might happen. So he was performing continual yajnas anyway in the courtyard. He had somehow faith in these yajnas. And he was a great worshiper of Kala Bhairav, is a form, a horrible form of Rudra or Lord Shiva. And he used to offer these kings that he would defeat. And he had a bunch of them stored up in this kind of fort, cave fort. And they couldn't escape, and they were hardly getting anything to eat. They were starving there. Then they came to end in a very kind of challenging mode. First, Jarasandha said, "Well, I don't know who you guys are." And they said, "Well, you know, we're Snatakas, and we've come to ask for a boon." He said, "Well, I'm offering you cows and wonderful decorated cows. I don't know what you want. Actually, we would rather have a little fight with you." First, they said they couldn't speak. Krishna spoke. He said, these are my two associates, but they don't speak in a day, but at night you can speak with them. So when he came at night and midnight, because he said, "Well, you're a guest, so I'll come there." Then they said, "Look, this is Arjun, this is Bhim, I'm your old adversary, Krishna. So we've come to fight with you. This is what we really want." He said, "Well, wait a minute. I didn't really pick a fight with you. And plus, you're Brahmanas. How can you ask for a fight? And how can you impersonate Snatakas?" So Krishna said, "No, according to Vedic rule, Kshatriya can also be a Snataka." And so in this way, it was settled. There was going to be, because Jarasandha said, "Well, I can't fight with Arjuna or Krishna, because they're pushovers. It's not a big deal, you know. But I could fight with this fellow here, Bhima. He looks pretty tough, you know. I could probably fight with him." So they had a big arena outside the city, and there was an area set aside. And from the armory, they were taken two giant clubs, and they fought. We know they fought for days. And Bhima was thinking, I don't know, this Jarasandha is pretty rough. I don't think I could beat him, and I could just fight forever. And then, of course, at night he would receive them nicely. He was actually followed this Vedic etiquette. And Jarasandha would receive them. But in the day, again, they would fight. So, and then Jarasandha was also thinking, this Bhima, he's pretty tough. I don't know if I could defeat him. So on that 28th day or so of fighting, at a distance, Krishna took up a twig, and he reminded Bhima, or he, by inference, he tore the twig in half, that this is the way you could kill him. So he finally got Jarasandha down and put his leg in. You know, it's a really horrific story. He tore him in half. So anyway, that was the final part, the obstacle to performing the Rajasuya. So when the Rajasuya, then Krishna went back to Dwarka, and he said, "When the Rajasuya is ready, let me know." And then he came with all these Yadus and beautiful horses, chariots with many of the queens in the middle, palanquins, and surrounded by incredible opulence of description. It's so wonderful. And all these different kings, and Dhritarashtra came from Hastinapur to Indraprastha, Dhritarashtra and Vidura and Dronacharya and all the great personalities, especially in Bhima, and they all, Bhishma, they came. And in the beginning, we know there's an amazing how they all took different duties. And even Duryodhana, somehow or other, they all volunteered, but Duryodhana, he, out of his nature, he wanted to check all the contributions that were coming. He was so envious when he saw the amazing things coming. Even demigods were sending contributions and immense opulence, indescribable opulence of jewels and silks and everything you could imagine. There were big palaces built for all the kings and all the kshatriyas, and there were amazing brahmanas and temples built, and chanting was going on, and all the ground was being plowed with golden plows. And this really burned. You just Duryodhan so much. He was, of course, Krishna took the duty of making sure everyone's feet were washed, personally washing everyone's feet, and Bhim was in charge of the cooking, and Sahadev and Nakula greeting people, making sure the accommodations were right. And so when it was time to perform the Rajasuya, the first thing that's done is the Agra Puja. The greatest personality there has to be worshipped. And it was advised by Vyasadeva and others when Yudhisthira, of course, he was already convinced that Krishna should be, and although there were Brahma and Shiva were there, and other great, all great sages from throughout the universe, and devas, still it was understood. So Bhishma himself described Krishna, that Krishna is the most worshipable person in the universe. He's the super soul. As far as his power, there's no question of his power. He described that later. But first of all, after he was worshipped, actually the worship went on. Then Shishupal actually made a big roar. He stood up in fiery copper eyes, so envious and angry. He never would never ever stop meditating on how Krishna had stolen Rukmini from him. He was supposed to marry Rukmini. So he got up and said that, how could you offer worship to this coward boy? Nobody knows who he is. And when we read the analysis by Sridhar Swami, his ancient commentator, how he describes it, everything that Shishupal said, all the blasphemy he showed by a Sanskrit adjustment, that it could be understood actually that Krishna is the greatest personality, although he said he was the worst personality, and he wasn't worthy even to eat the rice cake, the sacrificial rice cake. But actually it really means he should be eating more than that. And actually the Brahmins all had soma ras. It was all there. So many things went on in the Rajasuya. I mean, it's a very detailed description that we've read so many times, and we could read it again and again, especially in the Mahabharata, there are more descriptions. So this Shishupal, he had this benediction apparently that he could say so many blasphemies. I think it was 100 at that time, after he stood up and he boasted and he screamed and he said, Krishna is not worthy of anything. And just to avoid a huge battle in the Rajasuya arena, we know there's so many pictures. Krishna just took this sharp, he was quite angry at this point. He just took his sharp chakra and Sudarshan chakra and zoom, instantaneously, bloodlessly described, or he cut off that Shishupal's head. So anyway, in that arena, then we see this is the background for this beginning of the seventh canto, the whole story of Prahlad Maharaj and how it goes on and leads up practically the whole seventh canto, basically, the Prahlad Maharaj. And the last three, four chapters describe the orders. Narada Muni is still speaking about the various orders of life, leading up to the perfect person, the fat sage. And we were hearing about that recently in Bhagavatam class here. So it's wonderful how all these things come out of this Rajasuya pastime. And at the end of the Rajasuya, the Abhavritta bath is taken, and everyone goes down to the Ganga and they bathe, and even the queens go and enjoy, and all type of oils are smeared on people's bodies, and everyone's having a fantastic time down there. But of course, Duryodhan wasn't happy. He's the personified Kali Yuga, as described, Kalin Kuru Kulamayam, the disease in the Kuru dynasty. And so he was just seething. Now, of course, I wasn't so sure about reading the first part of this. If anyone has an idea. It says after gaining victory in the Battle of Kurukshetra, but it doesn't seem like it's the science, the exact chronology. But does anyone, can anyone say, was that the exact chronology of this story? Madan Mohan or Narahari, can you say something about that? In his first...
That was one of the questions I was going to ask.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Right. I'm not sure. If you look in a newer version or something, you might not see that. You know, it might have been edited out. I'm not sure, but I don't have... I'm reading the 1972 version here, but, you know, we could look on the folio or ask Dravida or, you know, that part. You know, I don't know. I don't... as far as I know, this took place before the battle, but so I can't comment, you know. Could have been an oversight by Prabhupada in ecstasy. But so all these things are being meditated. Our meditation, as Prabhupada says here about the impersonal, there's nothing there. He said practically it's difficult and it's practically no meditation. But if you had been there, in the case of Bhishma Dev, this would really fill your senses and your mind. And that's when Bhishma Dev got up and said that Krishna was the super soul of everyone. Everyone knows he killed the demons from the time he was a baby. He lifted a hill for a week. You know, his opulences are immeasurable. He went on to describe a wonderful description. It's in the Mahabharata of Krishna and in the 10th canto. So there's an overlap, but sometimes there's differences in between the 10th canto. There's many versions of the Mahabharata. Therefore, the Bhagavatam is the essence. And in the, we know that Narad Muni instructed Vyasadeva that he had to compose Bhagavatam to clarify what he'd already written, that the Mahabharata meant Sri Sudhadvija Bandhunam, meant for less intelligent, because it has so many lurid things. It doesn't always show the Siddhanta that Krishna is the final conclusion, the end-all, be-all of everything. It has so many other little, all these other stories. And so, therefore, we accept the Bhagavatam. He describes it as akilam, or an inferior literature. You've described all the Puranas and the Mahabharata and the Vedanta Sutras. Very nice, but actually, especially describes the Mahabharata as akilam, or inferior. So we have to take the Bhagavatam version whenever there's some misunderstanding. Today we've discussed here in Alacha about the important appearance day of Madhavendra Puri, and also I don't think we heard too much about Srinivasa Acharya this morning, but we heard about Madhavendra Puri, the great spiritual master, grand spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the appearance of Radha Raman. We heard a little bit about it, but those are there's another devotee, Parameshwari. We didn't hear anything about that. We mostly so I would say that Madhavendra Puri, we've been reading about that here on Saturdays, Madhavendra Puri, that he's the root of this tree, and how so Madhavendra Puri, he traveled throughout the length and breadth of India. He had so many important disciples, not the least of which is like Advaita and Nityananda, Shishya disciple, or, you know, Nityananda considered him guru, Ishwara Puri, the guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the entire story Lord Chaitanya narrated. Was it Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Nityananda described the story of Madhavendra Puri. Nityananda. And how Madhavendra Puri went to Vrindavan. He had a dream. He uncovered Gopal deity. Gopal deity, how he saw Gopinath. And the Bhajari had the dream, brought him the sweet rice. He felt like a big offender because he saw that kheer, sweet rice, and wanted to make some for his deity. How he went at great endeavor. He was going all the way to Puri to get the sandalwood and the camphor. But he was relieved of the anxiety, the endeavor of going back to Vrindavan by giving it there for cured Chura Gopinath. the Gopinath, who is not different from Gopal, and he stole that sweet rice. And, excuse me. Nobody answered. So when Nityananda met some part, it describes somewhere in the west of India, he met with Madhavendra Puri and they embraced went into samadhi, trance, ecstasy for hours while the disciples were amazed. Then Madhavendra Puri said, "Now I know that my life is perfect, that I finally found the goal of traveling throughout the length and breadth of India." He embraced Nityananda. They were crying in ecstasy, and the disciples were crying. And so this is some of the pastimes of Madhavendra Puri, and it's another important appearance of Radharaman, the deity that appeared out of the Damodar Shila of Gopal Bhatta when Mahaprabhu went South India and stayed. He went into the Sri Rangam temple. All the pujaris and priests, the brahmanas there, when they saw him, they were completely amazed. The tears were flowing from his eyes, and he was crying in ecstasy. They never, ever could imagine anything like this. They thought, is this some demigod? They were completely immersed in ecstasy themselves. They didn't know what to think. But the head priest there, that Venkata and his two brothers, Prabodhananda and Tirumala, they took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he stayed with them for 4 months. And so Gopal Bhatta was a kid that time, about 7-8 years old. And every day he would take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's remnants, which is Mahaprabhu was empowering him and even giving him instructions that, you know, when your parents leave their body, then you should go to Vrindavan, which he did afterwards. And there's a long story how he went to the Gandaki River and he got some Shilas up there. They came in his Kamandalu, but he tried to redistribute them in the river, and again they would appear 2-3 times. They would appear again and again. Finally he was convinced, so he took those Shilas, he worshipped them in Vrindavan. And then one day on the Shinga's appearance day, which was yesterday, he was intensely thinking how Narsingadev had appeared from the pillar, because some personalities, Kshatriyas, various wealthy Vaishyas, they were giving him things, paraphernalia for his Shilas, but they couldn't use them on the Shilas because the Shila, he couldn't dress them with these clothes. They were clothes meant for a deity of Krishna with two arms and playing a flute. So he kept thinking, oh, what am I going to do? So he's praying that he's so powerful that when he came back, I believe he went bathing in the Ganga or in the Jamuna. He came back, and there in the evening, Radharaman appeared. And when Rup and Sanatan understood, they went running there. People came from all of Vrindavan to see how he had appeared. And that, of course, then he was so satisfied in ecstasy, Gopal Bhatta, that he could. And Gopal Bhatta is a very important person. He's one of the 6 Goswamis. He inspired Sanatana Goswami to compose the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And he also was an inspiration for the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He was a mine, a veritable mine of knowledge. He had been trained, of course, to a certain point until he was in his late 20s, nearly 30 when he went to Vrindavan. So he was so learned that it is said, at least at the Radharaman Mandir, that Gopal Bhatta, he knew all the Shastras verbatim without any, he didn't require any kind of books. So he probably had some books, but he knew 300 Shastras by heart. So inconceivable. We can't even imagine. I mean, I don't know what Shastras. I mean, Mahabharata would take a long time to learn, I think, alone. But he knew the Shastra. So his deity was practically the only deity besides the Vrinda deity that wasn't taken from, to be hidden from the Muslim invaders, and was remained unharmed throughout, and is still being continually worshipped, not directly by Gopal Bhatta's biological descendants, but by, at one point, 10 years after he had gone back up to the Gandaki, or somewhere Hardwar, he met some Brahmin who worshipped him but couldn't have a son, and he got benediction from Gopal Bhatta, he would have a son. And so he just asked that if he could have the son help him. He got some, asked the Brahmin, if you have a son, maybe you could help me in my puja. So 10 years, one day he came back and he saw that there was a 10-year-old boy there, and he described that, oh yes, my father has sent me here. So he helped him. I forgot his name, Gopi, not what anyone remembers, but he also remained a brahmachari, but his brother was there also. So all these descendants are coming from, ultimately from the line of this disciple of Gopal Bhatta, this other brother. And they always maintain the puja continually for the last 500 years. At one point, Gopal Bhatta and other Goswamis, they actually had bows and arrows they used to protect their deity. And so it was not that they didn't, they were strict pacifists, but there were dacoits, and it is said, and Gopal Bhatta also, Mahaprabhu sent him his firi, which is the wooden seat that Chaitanya Prabhu himself used to sit on, plus some copin and a cloth, which is still being worshipped now, all those items. And that Vishwambar Goswami, he used to travel in the West. He was a friend of Prabhupada's in Vrindavan. When he came to, I saw him once in L.A. and in Bhaktivinoda Village. He had a little glass frame where he used to worship, a little like half inch or inch part of that cloth. And he even gave a thread to Chaturatma. Chaturatma still has a thread or two that he worships every day. So this is like the most sacred thing you could have, a cloth, a direct cloth of Mahaprabhu. So here this is the Tadiyanam Samarchanam. It's described that Aradhananam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. This is a conversation between Lord Shiva and his wife, I believe. And he's saying, what is the most worshipable thing? And he's saying, Vishnu worship, Aradhanam Param, is the most, but even higher is Tadiyanam Samarchanam. This Tadiya, that which is in relation to Vishnu. So, therefore, we worship the Guru. He is the most important paraphernalia. Sakshat Hari, Fanasamasta Shastra, every morning we worship the Guru. Bande Garoshi Charanaravinda. And whatever else will give us impetus, stimulate our Krishna consciousness, our consciousness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like this thread or the piece of cloth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Radha Raman, the deities. These things are so important to us, and therefore it helps us fix our mind, which is the main point of Bhishma Dev speaking here. How to fix the mind, Bhagavatam, how to fix the mind. Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Sanya Panito Malay, Apasyad Purusham Purnam, Maya Chada Pashrayam, Chada Parapcha Yada Pashrayam. Oh, Vyasadeva fixed his mind, Narad Muni fixed his mind, Bhishma Dev fixing Kunti, how they fix their minds. And a lot of it has to do with chanting the mantras, the Bhagavatam, Brahma Samhitam Idam Bhagavat. It is the light we get in Kali Yuga. After the disappearance, Kalim, in the age of Kali, Sattva Haram Pum Sam is stealing away all the goodness, Kali Yuga, and as personified here by Duryodhan, the envious Duryodhan, as opposed to Bhishma Dev fearlessly speaking in favor of Krishna. So we don't want to be in the camp of Duryodhan or camp of Shishupal, although, of course, Shishupal is the transcendental fighter with Krishna. Krishna wants to fight someone. He picks someone. So that's all. It's in the Bhagavatam, the seventh canto, that's described wonderfully. That how Shishupal disappeared. He merged. It appears that he got Suyujimukti, but then later he went back to Vaikuntha, and he got his form as either Jaya or Vijay. Oh, well, these are all eligible again and again. Some of these verses are a little hard to chant. Although I remember back in the 70s, under the influence of Dravida, I did learn that Lalita, the last one, and the next one, this one I didn't learn. But Lalita Gati Vilasa Valgohasa, Pranaya Nirikshana Kapaturamana. Those kind of in my mind somewhere. Tamima Mahamajam Shirira Bhajam Riti Riti Dushitam Atmakalpitanam. Nice verse coming up tomorrow. And then finally, Manag Vagdrishti Vritti Bhi. Bhishma Dev merged himself in the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of God, with his mind, speech, sight, and action. Thus he became silent and his breathing stopped. And that's the ultimate goal. Thinking of Krishna in this merging all the elements of his body. So if there's any comments on this and discussions, we welcome it.
Yes, I do have an answer for the question about Rajasuya sacrifice.
Okay.
Ramapad Swami writes, the Rajasuya sacrifice was performed before the battle Kurukshetra, not after the battle. Not long after Maharaj Yudhisthira built the city of Indraprastha by the grace of Lord Krishna, a beautiful assembly hall wherein was constructed by Maya Danava, Yudhisthira desired to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. I'll go down to the bottom. This is the important part, last two sentences. After the battle, also Maharaj Yudhisthira performed three Ashvamedha horse sacrifices as the emperor of the world with Lord Krishna presiding over. Srila Prabhupada is making a reference to these sacrifices in the purport, but these are different from the Rajasuya sacrifice in which Shishupal was killed and Bhishma witnessed the Arga Puja being offered to Lord Krishna. And also in the word for word, it says Rajasuya is a royal performance of sacrifice. So maybe just that's sort of like the designation for a type of sacrifice being performed by the emperor in general, when actually they were, this is referring to the Ashvamedha.
Yeah, but it doesn't really explain, because we're talking about the Rajasuya, not the Ashvamedha. But yeah, how did you find that reference anyway?
It's on Ramapad Maharaj's site.
Okay.
Inquiries about the absolute.
Right. Okay. It's amazing you found that, but that's nice to know. But it still doesn't explain this. But anyway, it's okay. But
yeah, I think
it might have been edited later. You know, I don't know what version. You're reading a current version of the Bhagavatam?
Yeah, this is the online version.
Okay, printed recently, or are you just reading it online? Okay. Anyway, it's still hard to explain because this is Rajasuya, not Ashvamedha. You know, I guess because he's obviously talking about Battle of Kurukshetra in reference to this. So.
And the challenge horse is sent out in the Rajasuya as well as the Ashvamedha, correct?
I don't know about the Ashvamedha.
He's right.
Ashvamedha, I don't know about that. Ashvamedha, like you're established, you've already done the Rajasuya, or you don't need to do, you know, you automatically, I'm not sure, I don't think.
Dasarath performed an Ashvamedha, which involves the challenge horse.
Who did?
Dasarath.
Okay.
Dasarath.
All right, he sent a challenge horse. Here, there were many horses sent in different parts, you know, and then the various brothers of Yudhisthira would go to the south, east, west, north with the horse, or just to see who would complain. And they had to kill. Right. They would kill kings. They actually had to have big battles, which aren't mentioned in detail so much. But there's more details about the persons who would surrender.
And then Ram, he sent out a challenge horse, and Lav and Kush brought him back, the horse.
Yeah, oh yeah, right. That's good. Anyway, it's still inconceivable, that first few sentences there, but anyway.
But it would make sense after the battle that Yudhisthira would establish himself as the emperor of the world.
Yeah, that part. Right. But
and Ashwamedha actually means, Ashwa means horse, so that is the one where the horse
you
is
sacrifice. Yeah, and you sacrifice a horse. And yeah, you give it a new body. You also sacrifice, it's probably a different horse, but you sacrifice a horse. Ashwamedha Gavalabam. Yeah, because that shloka is there about Kali Yuga. You don't do Ashwamedha. You don't sacrifice a horse, Ashwamedha Gavalabam, or a cow, or, you know, have sex with your brother's wife, or take sannyas, or give oblations to the forefathers, was it? Those five things are Kalau, Panchavivarja, are forbidden in Kali Yuga. Or flesh to the ancestors. That's what it was.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
Anything else?
And I thought it was Srinivas Acharya's appearance day as well.
Yes, that's true. And Srinivas Acharya, he's initiated, I believe, by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And we know that Srinivas Acharya, he was a great devotee. How he went to, his name was given, I believe, by his father was Chaitanya Das, and Lord Chaitanya told him what to name him. And then but he was born after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He missed Lord Chaitanya. He wanted to see Gadadhar. He went to Puri, Gadadhar, to read Bhagavatam, and he couldn't study because the Bhagavatam had been washed away by tears. And then he went back to Navadvipa to find it. And finally, when he went to Vrindavan, you know, he was always brokenhearted. And Rupa and Sanatana had just left, but Gopal Bhatta was there, and Jiva Goswami, and he took shelter of Jiva Goswami, and along with Narottam Das and Duki Krishna. And then they got all the books, get all the Goswami books, at least copies of them, and took them in a cart. And how that king stole them, and he became influenced greatly and surrendered to Srinivas Acharya. Srinivas Acharya is a great acharya in our line. He composed the Sad Goswami Astakam. Pande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yago Shri Jiva Gopala.
Oh, Hare Krishna Prabhu. The reference is to Tadi Aradhanam or Tadi Anam when you are saying
Tadi Anam Samarchanam.
Tadi Anam
Samarchanam. Summon substance of all Archanam is Tadiya, worshipping that which is in relation to Vishnu. Just like when Prataparudra, somehow or other, he couldn't get the audience, direct audience of Lord Chaitanya, so Ramananda and Stroop Damodar, others, they decided they would give him, first they softened up the Lord's heart by bringing his son in front. But then they gave a cloth also. They gave the cloth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Prataparudra, and he worshipped that. And Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Still, he was hankering for the direct audience. But, so I was thinking about that getting the wooden seat and the cloth, Mahaprabhu.
Because I'm used to hearing two words here in India, you know, I'm born in a Sri Vaishnava family. It's like Tadi Aradhanam and Tadi Annam. Tadi Aradhanam is puja that was performed for Vishnu. And when they said Tadi Annam, they literally used to mean curd rice, you know, when they used to serve as prashad.
But this Tadiya just refers Tadiya. To anything. Either the servants or something, some object that's completely spiritualized that's in relation with Krishna. You know, Tadiya means, there's that verse, Uddhava speaks in 11th canto, Shrag, the flowers, we're in ecstasy. Tava mayam jayamahi, we conquer over the maya It's an 11th canto verse. Tava Mayam Jayamahi. He's telling Krishna directly that we conquer over the material energy by taking your remnants, your flower remnants, your food, your prasad, like that.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Tadiyanam, you know, the food, the prasad, like that, the cloth, the deity, the guru is also the associate. There might be a colloquial or some local meaning of that word. I don't know. But there's a famous verse you can look up. Aradhananam might be, it's a Puranic verse. Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhananam Pram. I think it might be spoken by Lord Shiva.
Oh,
yeah.
Because Tadiyanam, you know, there was a interpretation from someone
right,
whom I
right.
asked long back. Yeah, with the rice as the curd rice, because
tadiyah,
that's the last one. So,
but that's also Tadiyanam, that's Tadiyah. It's also because it's offered to Krishna, so it's Tadiyah, no question about that. Except that Tadiyanam is a more broad category of not just rice and curd, but it can include any kind of prasad, basically. Prasad or a devotee, just like Krishna says, Mad Bhakta Puja Bhyadika, one who worships Name Bhakta. One who says he's my bhakta but doesn't worship my devotee, he is not my devotee. But only my bhakta puja bhyadika. Someone who worships my bhakta is better than me. Therefore, Krishna never took the king seat. He wanted Yudhisthira to sit in the seat because he's Tadiyanam. He wants him to be worshipped. Saksha, you worship the guru, you worship the devotee first, then talk about worshipping Krishna.
Oh,
yeah. Anything else out there in cyber land or
anything else for those? We have about 28 devotees on.
Well, I didn't say that much. I just described Rajasi. But if anyone else can say something.
It's interesting that Bhishma is remembering this to keep his mind fixed on the Lord when apparently he wasn't present for this. He's on the battlefield on the bed of arrows. He must be getting news from someone.
He wasn't present for what?
The sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira after the battle.
After the battle, right.
Yeah.
But the battle being described in this purport is not after. It says after, but I mean, when you think about all the things referenced in it, then you get the idea that he's talking about the same one, you know.
Now, if he performs such a sacrifice where he's challenging all the kings in the world to become emperor of the world, wouldn't Duryodhana have a problem with that?
Yeah, but that's why okay, let's see this purport. After this rule of the world being too expensive, too difficult, the kings and great learned sages assemble in the capital of Maharaj Yudhisthira. I mean, I don't get any idea that this is not, that this is a different Rajasuya than the one we all know about.
I think it may be just a glitch on the Rajasuya. I think it refers to the Asvamedha.
Well, why would it when the whole shloka is Rajasuya? That's inexplicable. So, and just somewhere along the line here, it's also mentioned about Shishupal. Let's see here. All right, Shishupal is not specifically mentioned here. But anyway, if okay, I don't remember another Rajasuya, but if somebody says they can find that, then I'd like to hear about it. But I'm not sure. Is anything else?
Yes, I had a question to ask you. I had a question to ask you was about, the Gopal Deities, which Madhavendra Puri?
Yeah.
So just trying to understand, when did Vallabhacharya, and now we know that the followers of Vallabhacharya are very attached, and we hear that they send train loads of offering bhoga from Gujarat to the Gopal deity. So the incident when Vallabhacharya kind of...
what I understand is described that the son of Vallabhacharya, that Madhavendra Puri didn't want the time. Of course, they were all friends, friendly. There was no question of any enmity, but he entrusted it to Vitaleshwar, is it? Vitalanath? The son of Balaba. And then it was passed down, and then when the Muslims came to invade, they took the deity to far away to Nathdwar.
That the same Vitalnath then? It was the same Vitalnath. The deities itself. Or was the Gopal deity?
The son of Balaba Bhatt, one of his sons, is named the saint as the deity, not the deity, but the son of Vallabhacharya. He took the deity to protect it. He took it out of Vrindavan, and he took it far into Nathdwar, away from the demons. And it's remained there ever since. But at the time, there was no enmity about it. But later on, But still, I mean, the Gaudiyas are not trying to take the deity back, although there's some story I've heard recently that the deity was astrologically supposed to come back at a certain point to Vrindavan. But I don't have any... I never heard that it did come back. Someone had told me a few years ago.
No, you have heard have you? That actually there is a tunnel that in the evening the deity comes for the Rastras, of course, it's Krishna. There is a tunnel.
I haven't heard it, but I haven't seen it either. But imagine.
Yeah, of course,
Krishna can do. I went to Nathdwar one time in '82, and I saw the whole city is just centered around that deity. I can't imagine them ever sending it back. I mean, there was a big thing back during Prabhupada's time, a BTG article, where it was an excerpt from Chaitanya Charitamrita about this discussion and this pastime between Balaba Bhatt, and they became very angry when they read that, because one copy was sent to Somati Maharaji, and then it came down, the two main acharyas, they became very, very angry. Somehow they had never read this in all those hundreds of years. They never read the Chaitanya Charitamrita pastime and how Lord Chaitanya called him a prostitute, Balaba Bhatt, because he said he had composed something better than Sridhar Swami, the ancient commentator, original commentator of Bhagavatam. So one of the two letters was sent to Giriraj in Bombay, apparently, and one of them he showed to Prabhupada. One was very, very blasphemous, but the one that was less blasphemous, there were two main acharyas, one from Bombay and one from the city. And so the one was shown to Prabhupada. Hello?
Please continue. It's a great story.
Oh, okay. The one letter was shown to Prabhupada. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm listening.
Yeah, we can all hear you.
Oh, it was so quiet all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I heard static, and then suddenly the static went away. I thought that I was cut loose from the planet Earth.
That letter
Prabhupada wrote a letter to the Acharya either in either in Bombay or in the what's the other city then where the deity is? To him that. They were demanding that Prabhupada should edit the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya had criticized their guru. They call their guru, by the way, Mahaprabhu. I mean, they call Balaba. He never asked to be Mahaprabhu or anything. He was always very submissive to Lord Chaitanya. But they don't like that at all, because that means that Lord Chaitanya is supreme and not their guru. So it's very much disturbed them. And so Prabhupada wrote that these are humorous pastimes, pleasure pastimes between Mahaprabhu and Balabhadracharya, that they shouldn't take them like that. They don't understand really what's being said. And how could Prabhupada, 500 years down the road here, take out what Kaviraj Goswami wrote 500 years before, or what actually happened, transpired? It was impossible. So he tried to smooth them over with a very nice letter, which you could probably read. And well, I read it, I think, in Harishari's last book that I read of Harishari's. It takes place in 76. Well, a lot of whatever happened, you know, I mean, Harishari had very detailed descriptions of this. And so one of the main reason, I guess, that we have the Nathji deity, or the Nathji big relief picture on the side wall next to in Bombay at the Juhu Temple, just to satisfy people that don't worry, we also worship Balaji, not Balaji, Nathji. So anyway, he's up there now, and that's one reason, main reason, because of this incident. Well, they might think that we're inimical. They might think the Gaudiyas are inimical to their deity, or you know. But of course, this is largely forgotten amongst the current followers. I'm not sure the status of their acharyas, if they're very pukka or whatever they are. But those acharyas at the time of Prabhupada were very angry.
But the letter, Prabhupada, like you mentioned, the word humor satisfies everything. Thank you.
He used the word like humor. It's worth finding that letter. But if you really want to know the whole thing, you know, people from that background, they might want to be interested to read what Prabhupada said. But Prabhupada said it was a mistake to put the article in. But of course, you know, it's Chaitanya Charita. You know, I'm not so sure he hadn't given a whole set of those books to Samarthi Maharaji, and she just didn't read them, you know, and they weren't that interested. But then when the article came out in BTG, it was easy to notice it. I'm not sure what year, 76.
My question was actually the original part was how the deities, under Vallabhacharya, when did they come? And you answered that. That was my original question. Actually.
Somebody recently, somebody said it recently. Somebody, I heard that, but you know, that's the main idea. That's the main. There's more details to it. You could probably find it online, but basically, that's the basic story. That it was entrusted because Madhavendrapuri didn't want to. He initiated some of those Brahmins, and you know, very liberal in those days. Those Brahmins could have been Gujaratis, or could have been, you know, there were could have been followers of Balabhabhat. Didn't matter. Madhavendrapuri wanted them to do the puja. He was going around, you know, India.
No, the main concern is, you have to understand, the main concern is that we're following Chaitanya's path in the Madhurya, whereas they themselves are so strict in their Vatsalya. Wow, and that's where the difference comes, you see. And then now we see Srinathji in so many ISKCON temples, and it seems like, is this raspa, or it's more like accommodating everybody's moods right now? That's what I'm understanding.
All right. I mean, we also have Ramchandra and Sita in Bombay and in London and so many places, and we're also not in that directly, you know. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to induce Murari to give up worship of Ramchandra, isn't it? And so did Rupa and Sanatan try to induce their brother Anupam Balaba to give it up. And they wouldn't. They couldn't. So, you know, Prabhupada said, we're not bigots. We're not against Ramchandra. I mean, there are some followers of Bhakti Siddhanta we need not mention, pretty well known, who don't worship Jagannath also. Don't worship Jagannath. You only stick to Radha Krishna conjugal, that's all, and completely discourage that. And that hasn't entered into mainstream ISKCON at all. Well, that would tell us that you don't have Ratha Yatra. I don't even know what that implication is, because, there's so many things. Some people will try to show that they're better than Prabhupada by saying so many things also. Why are you worshiping Jagannath? This is not right. You shouldn't be on the altar. You know, you shouldn't worship Ramchandra. You should have only one deity and altar, and not have this and not have that. Things that Prabhupada never, you know, said. So you can follow that also, the free will. You want to follow Prabhupada, or, not you or anyone, but still.
Thank you for your great explanation. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
But Prabhupada was pretty liberal. Okay, anything else? All right.
We're like way.
Okay. All right, Hari Bol, I'm signing off, so don't blame me for the rest of it. Hari Bol, thanks.
Okay. So thank you, Prabhupada. Thank you very much for listening. And don't forget, tomorrow we have the Hermala Giving class. And tonight we resume our Bhagavad Gita class. Anybody wants to listen in? So, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai, Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah. Hare Bol, proposal.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.